This is a Crowd podcast.
This is Influenced, the podcast that will get inside your mind, or at least make you think that it has. We've got guests, but a lot of podcasts have guests. My guests think they're here to plug something, but little do they know, from the moment they walk in, I'm playing games with their minds.
How did you do that?
I'm in control.
How?
What?
Get out of my head!
See, I love mind games. I'm a mentalist. What my guests don't know is that they're being influenced the entire time. I mean, even if it is in the podcast title.
Are you ready?
Oh my God.
Watch. I'm just messing with you.
Oh
no,
my
I can't. Can you imagine?
Are you going to explain or?
Oh my God. How?
Feel weirded out?
Very.
We're just getting started, trust me.
I wrote it down and I've held on to this the whole time.
Yeah.
So you can't have seen it?
Because you don't really know what's about to happen.
I have no idea.
How? How? Is that his name?
Yeah.
What?
Wow.
I'm Joel M, and my guest this week is stand-up comedian and actor Paul Chowdhury. But before we get started, I'm going to let you in on a secret. Now, you may think it wouldn't be difficult to get Paul to tell me a joke. He is a comedian after all. But here's the trick. I'm going to influence him to tell me a joke with a very specific punchline. And I predict that that punchline will have something to do with India and a telephone call. So all I have to do now is get inside his mind. Guard your mind, and welcome to Influenced. Paul, it is a pleasure. Thank you for coming on the show.
Been a big fan of yours, Joel, for like 30 years now.
Wow, that's a long time.
Can't believe you're 25 years old, so.
So you're like a mega fan.
Yeah, I knew about you like 5 years before you were born.
A pre-birth stalker.
You know what I mean? I knew your dad and your mum, and they said one day we're going to have a magician.
That is what they said, yeah. That was their big lifelong aspiration. Especially my dad. He grew up, all he ever wanted was a magical son. And he got his wish. He did.
He wished for Harry Potter, he got you.
He got pretty close, yeah. I don't have the scar. You know, that's what people ask me all the time. They say, is there like magic in the family? Any magicians? I'm like, what? What family has magicians in the family?
The fact that you're born is a miracle.
That's true. Yeah. I was born with dark powers, which I'll show you in just a little bit. Would you like magic? Are you a fan of magic?
Big fan of magic.
Hmm.
Black magic, voodoo.
The dark stuff.
All that kind of stuff.
Mm.
The mythical stuff.
Do you believe in like real dark magic?
I think when, you know, in prehistoric times, we used to use our minds a lot more than we do now.
Mm.
So mind reading was probably more of a thing then. Now we're reliant on phones and technology, and we lose those special powers that we may have had in former lives.
Mm, I know what you mean. Like an intuition sort of thing.
Intuition. You know, yeah. What? Would you predict someone's, oh, I was just thinking of you and you just phoned me.
Mm.
Now,
do you think that's confirmation bias or do you think that is an intuition thing?
It's definitely an intuition thing.
I think so. Yeah, yes. I'd be inclined to agree with you for sure. Yeah, because you can explain it away any number of ways, but you do get strange little coincidences like that. One I've noticed, I keep seeing every time I check my phone at night, it always seems to be 22 minutes past 10. So 2222, and I go, whoa, it must mean, or is it that I'm just checking the time all the time? And when I happen to see it, it's 22 plus 22, I notice it.
Well, there's that 1234 as well, isn't it? 1234.
That's right. Yeah.
People have them, or the 1111.
Well, see, I've never noticed those, but now you've said it.
Yeah.
I probably can see it all the time.
You can see it all the time. I'll call it 1111.
Mm. Well, I don't do dark magic, but I would love to start before we get into a chat. Mm. I would love to show you some not dark magic. I don't know. Light magic. I'm like Gandalf the White.
You like the White Gandalf?
Yeah, I have lots in common.
Yeah.
I have lots in common. I want to play a game.
Great.
Two truths and a lie. It's a very simple game. You're going to think about two truths about yourself.
Okay.
Ideally. And one thing that is a big fat fib. It's not true. It's a complete lie. You're allowed to lie. I know lying's wrong, but on this podcast, just for one moment, you're allowed to lie.
For entertainment purposes.
Yes, it's for entertainment. I'll give you a second to think and get these locked inside your head.
Okay.
Your two truths and a lie. It's a lot of pressure, I do understand.
Right.
Okay, well, here's the key is when I ask you for these, don't do what some people do and tell me, right, I'll go for the lie first and then tell me the lie. Make sure you give them to me. It is a lot of pressure on camera. So whenever you're ready, you have three in your head
that
you're happy with.
Yeah.
When you're ready, deliver them onto me.
So one time I did this show in London and I went to the foyer near the cloakroom. I'm not boasting about this, but some fans wanted some pictures.
It's a lie.
Yeah. That wasn't even part of it. Yeah. You couldn't believe that. Who wouldn't want a
picture? Incredible.
Yeah. And so we're taking these selfies and there's a guy at the side of the room and he's trying to get through this because I'm blocking up the pathway to the door. And he gets his coat and he says, look, do you mind if I just duck under? And no one's even acknowledging this person. And then he ducks under the queue and the selfies while we're taking selfies and goes, and thanks us for it. And then left the room. And that was Iron Man, Robert Downey Jr.
No way.
So they were all getting selfies with me and didn't know Iron Man was standing there. And then his mate was there watching this, and that was Jude Law.
Oh, no.
And no one clocked them too. And they're like, well, how come no one... It was quite an Indian fan base there at this venue.
I so want this story to be true. If it's a lie, I'd be really sad with you.
Then you'd be sad. But
is that the full story?
Well, yeah. I mean, no one even asked him for a selfie.
Well, I mean, they didn't know he was there, so it's okay. Plus, they got the photo.
Well, he wasn't in disguise. He was like fully...
He wasn't in his Iron Man gear that day.
He was just wearing normal clothes like you.
He's a cool man. Okay, I don't know if that's a lie or the truth just yet. I'll make up my mind in a second. I hope that is true. It's a very good story.
It's a good story.
Most people will tell the lie first to get it out of the way and then they can relax.
But yeah, they can relax, yeah.
Yes, yes. But I don't know that you've done that. That feels true. There's a lot of detail. Okay, that's number one.
That's number one.
Let's go number two.
So I did this gig for the BBC in the early 2000s. It was an awards ceremony. There was every celebrity was in the room, from Richard Attenborough to Chris Eubank. And I'd take a lift at this hotel, the Grosvenor House Hotel, back up to my room after the game. There was a tough gig. You know, these kinds of gigs are tough in the great room at the Grosvenor House Hotel. And I get into the lift and I'm in the lift with Chris Eubank and his then wife. This is way before cancer. He was offended with my material.
Okay.
And decided to tell me.
Oh dear.
When one is performing at such audacious events, one must not use such profanities on the stage.
So he was quite offended that I accidentally swore. And this is a man who used to knock people out for a living.
Yeah.
But when is you must think before you speak at such audacious ceremonies.
And
I hope this one's true as well.
Lectured by Chris, and at that point, retired from boxing, but I'm a big boxing fan.
Okay, is that the end of that story number two? These are the best I've ever heard in two truths.
Really?
Really? Yes. People usually just say, like, I'm left-handed. You know, as they've written down
their with their right hand.
Yeah.
I wonder what that one is.
Yeah. Right, third, I got to compose myself. This will be a 27-minute trick, let's see. Okay, one more.
Okay. Now, this is going back a bit. I was in LA in 2007 doing gigs around the Comedy Store, Laugh Factory, all the clubs in LA. I was dropping in and I had some meetings out in America because I was going to do this show out there. Long story, Dave Chappelle's producer got me out to do gigs in LA. And I ended up doing this gig. And one night, you tend to get lots of celebrities that drop in at these comedy shows, like you might know at the Comedy Store. Quentin Tarantino turns up at the gig. But I did this gig one night that he got me, and Will Smith was in the audience. And at that point, he was a superstar,
and
as he is now.
Absolutely, yeah. Right?
But I did some routines, and Will Smith got offended and stood up and started shouting at me. And it was kind of ignored at the time. He got very offended by the material I did and kind of just said, shut the F up to me. And I was thinking, this is a bit weird, because I saw Will Smith as a very family friendly entertainer. And then I went backstage and I was quite shaken about the fact that Will Smith, and he was just like, look, man, it was like the Chris Eubank situation.
Yeah.
Almost like, why am I offending people with, this is pre-cancel culture as well, as Chris Eubank was. And he decided to lecture me, saying, you know, your material, you shouldn't say such things on stage. I've never sworn in my raps. I've never, because he's quite a clean cut.
Quite clean, family friendly.
Same name as my tour, which is why my tour is now called Family Friendly.
Ah, okay.
That's a very
more
good
on that in a little minute. Yeah.
And I just thought, how come no one really knows this side of Will Smith? Behold, the Oscars 2022.
Well, yeah.
Chris Rock got slapped in the face.
He did. He took a hit.
Yeah.
Okay, you've told me three fantastic stories there, and I want to believe
all
of them are true. Yes, that's why they're so exciting.
Not name dropping here.
No, not at all. We would never do that on this show. Never. Ooh, this is a tricky one. I'm in the weird situation where I want all of them to be the truth. Yeah. Part of me hopes that you've tried to throw me off by telling me three true stories.
Well, I'm trying to pass off the fact that I'm more famous than Jude Law and Robert Downey.
Yeah.
A former world champion boxer defended, and then somebody who recently slapped somebody in the face.
Right, so I'm going to give you my theory and try not to give anything away in your face. I'm going to, although you will, I feel like the Robert Downey Jr. one is absolutely true. I think that's part of me, just I'm a big fan of him, so I want that to be really, really true. I also think he's short enough to where he could just sneak through a crowd and somebody not notice that he is there. So I'm going to say that one's true. Don't answer this yet. I think that one's true. The lie is one of the final two. I'm unsure. I'm going to place a bet. I think that the Will Smith one is probably a fib. And I think here's the problem is possibly part of the story is true, but you might have embellished it a bit. I just think linking it to something that's happened recently that you know I would know about is maybe overselling a little bit. So I'm saying number three is a lie. I think number one and two are the truth, and that is my final answer. How close did I get?
You know what? I thought you were good at this, and I'm sorry to tell you that you're right.
Yeah! Don't do that to me, Paul. Don't do that. That's my career. Oh, that's good news. It's good news, but I was so scared for a second there. The first trick of the show as well.
Yeah.
You had me freaking out. Yeah. Okay, so the first one really is true.
The first one is true.
That and Jude Law as well.
And Jude Law.
That's incredible.
Yeah, in the same room.
You must have felt like a badass.
And Jude Law was looking at me thinking, who is this guy that they're all taking and no one's noticed us to?
They might have liked that though at the same time. I'm sure those guys get tortured.
Oh, yeah. But not with my crowd.
No. No, not hooligans.
Yeah, my football hooligan phase.
No, so that's true. But the Will Smith thing, not true. Is there any truth to that story or is it a complete thing?
There is truth to the story. I was out in LA.
Gotcha, that's right.
2007 doing gigs.
Yes.
But Will Smith wasn't in the audience.
Have you ever met Will Smith?
I've never met Will Smith, but you know who was in the audience?
Who?
The guy who plays opposite him in Bad Boys. No. Martin Lawrence.
Yes.
Was in the audience. So he walked in, Martin Lawrence walked in while I was on stage at the Comedy Store. I was doing a lot of black gigs in LA and then he sat down, who's also a stand-up. But Will Smith hasn't done stand-up, but I do know Dave Chappelle who did kind of teach Will Smith how to do stand-up.
I'm going to say and I've played Two Truths and a Lie loads of times in my lifetime. It's been the best three stories. I'm calling it. That's absolutely it. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that was also true.
That was true.
That's got to feel weird.
That was weird because I'd watched literally all of his fights and I know his son as well, Chris Eubank Jr.
You threw me off a little bit with those. So thank you for playing Two Truths and a Lie. I appreciate you you doing that. You're quite the competitor.
But it's really good that you noticed that it was me trying to sell it too much.
Yeah, I think that's often what people do is it's like any liar, their language patterns will change, but they will. And you'll actually notice when you watch this back, it was the only one in which you were nodding a lot as well as you told the story.
Right, really?
As if to like, you know, honestly, believe me, this happened, really, you know. Yeah. And that's a little giveaway as well. But you are very...
It's cold reading, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And we'll try a bit more of that in just a little second. What a competitor. He's got a really hard voice to read. Doesn't give much away, so I'm delighted with that. And the fact that the Robert Downey Jr. story is real is even better. It's picking up on cues and all sorts of different bits and bobs. You've got to do that too, though, in a way, when you're on a stage.
Yeah.
You're reading the audience.
You've got to read the room.
Yeah, and you can't really learn it unless you just do it, right? Well, when did you start gigging?
Mid-98.
98, year after I was born.
Yeah.
Look at that. Sorry, rub that in.
That's depressing, isn't it?
What were your first gigs like? Were you always quite good or did you have a steep learning curve?
I think you just learn as you go along. It's like life, progression in life. I'd say even with your tricks is they become more mature and evolve as your life evolves. the tricks you're doing now, you probably won't be doing in 10 years' time.
I hope not.
I thought it would be a pretty stale act by then.
Yeah. You do see sometimes acts, they do the same stuff across their whole career. I think you'd get bored.
Well, David Copperfield used to make like fighter jets and disappear and all those. Yeah. Those.
I just saw Copperfield recently in Vegas. Yeah. I saw him. I saw Chris Angel's show was the best. I saw it was amazing. Absolutely amazing. Copperfield was great too. You can tell he's been doing the show for 40 years. Yeah.
Probably more than that, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, allegedly he's using a teleprompter, but really? He forgot his lines a couple of times during the show, and he's been doing that show a long time, so he must be tired. But
yeah, a lot of comedians do that as well, though. They have auto cues on the stage.
Really?
Which is in the speaker on the front, and then they kind of...
I'm assuming you don't.
My comedy isn't really that kind of stand-up. No. You can have kind of head-headers, but they're more. It's kind of more story-based.
Yeah.
Whereas one-liner comics or people that just have set-up punchline, they tend to... But if you have autobiographical stories in your set, you couldn't really write it down or...
No. Well, the likes of like a Jimmy Carr, 1.5 hours of just like sentence after sentence after sentence, yeah. You'd have to be a machine to memorize all of that. I don't know if he does or not, but... So yeah, you're just speaking your truth, your stories.
Yeah, it's more autobiographical.
I think I respect comedians the most out of any live entertainer just because there's so... This is just for me, who's not a comedian. It seems scary as hell. Mm. And I don't know, maybe you comedians are... built different, maybe you don't have that fear response, but I don't think that's true. I think you're just willing to go through that pain of what people don't laugh and don't find it funny.
A lot of pain.
Yeah.
When they don't laugh, there's a lot of pain. And then you have to rewrite the joke.
Yeah, and that's just, you have to be willing to go through that. But most people wouldn't. Absolutely, they wouldn't.
They can't take the hits.
No, but see, people say that to me with magic. They're like, oh, what if the trick goes wrong? It's not the same. It'd be way worse as a comedian because with magic, people don't know where the trick's going. So if you mess it up, you can just pivot and change. But if you tell a joke and no one finds it funny, that's...
Yeah.
I've been at open mics with bad comedians. It's horrible. Even watching, it's hard, like let alone being the pro comedian on the stage. Well, it's brutal.
There was a comedian who was also a magician, but a bad magician, Tommy Cooper, when I was growing up.
Yes.
So it's before you were born.
One of the goats.
Yeah, one of the
goats.
Incredible. But every trick was just atrocious.
Yes.
Which was funny.
Oh, he was incredible, wasn't he?
So now if you do a bad trick, it doesn't work. You can just turn that into a joke.
Absolutely, yeah.
Whereas if you do a joke that doesn't work, you can't then do a joke that doesn't work.
No. It's a lot scarier. There's more risk for sure. But I'd imagine the payoff's way more satisfying.
Well, I'm not sure. You know, people do get a lot of satisfaction from doing a good magic trick. And I've done some magic tricks in my time. Well, and the reaction of people that just don't understand what happened there.
Yes and no. For me, I think there's a little bit of guilt sometimes because I know that what I've done might be something quite simple, but you get massive praise for it. It's like the most fraudulent way to impressing someone quite easily. Now, it does take a lot of work and a lot of practice, don't get me wrong, but it usually is something quite simple. So and
when you meet a nice girl, and you just obviously, magicians say they started magic so they can impress women.
Yes.
Or men or whatever you're into, obviously, you know, any gender.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever you're into, you must have approached that person and said, let me try this trick on you.
I did. But do you know what? I got into magic when I was 5. So that wasn't really in my mind at the time.
Well, you know, I'm not condoning that kind of behavior.
No, it's just dodgy. I never really did it for that. I mean, it helped for sure. But I just did it because it really pissed me off that I couldn't figure out how the tricks were done. So it was more a curiosity thing.
At 5 years old?
Yeah.
You could barely speak and you were trying to work out magic.
I couldn't read properly. My mum had to read the magic books to me so I could explain how the tricks were done. And we didn't have the internet properly back then. We had the internet, but there wasn't stuff on there that you could learn. So I had to... But how do you even go around then? Because it's very different. Like with magic, there's certain tricks, certain techniques. You can learn it. You can do magic. That isn't really the case with comedy unless you literally just steal an act, which is not a go-go in that world.
No, it's not acceptable in the alternative circuit. So back in the early days, the mainstream circuit, comics used to have the same jokes and they used to share material. And so the mainstream working men's clubs and all the comics would have a pool of jokes, and they'd say, oh, have you done that bit? Have you done that bit? They'd have to work out who did what bit.
Yes.
Just in case they repeat the same joke. You can't do that now in comedy.
Interesting. Yeah, because that's magic's still a little bit like that.
People have the same tricks.
Yes, and you'll do gigs sometimes where there's 3 or 4 magicians on, maybe doing close-up roaming a room or something. You had to have your little powwow beforehand to check.
Yeah.
Are you doing the doves? Are you doing the handkerchief trick? You know. Yeah, it's interesting. But it is an absolute no-go now to do that. You can't just... steal material, that's bad.
Yeah,
which I think is a good thing, right?
Oh, it's definitely a good thing.
Have you had people rip your act off?
Yeah, you end up seeing bits and other people's acts and you're like...
Hurts?
Yeah, it's like, you just saw me do that last week. Mm. I don't know, I've got a different bit on that bit, but you've just seen me do pretty much the whole premise and then you can't then go and do that bit because...
Yeah, well, you know, it's a bit disrespectful, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of happens and you see stuff online. Online now, you see, they're not even comedians, but they'll steal bits of your act and just put them out as a talking head thing. And you're like, wait a minute, that was my joke on Live at the Apollo in 2012. And now one of my most stolen jokes has gone viral in so many other pages.
Oh, that's annoying.
I did this joke back in the day about...
I want to know what the joke is.
You probably want to know the joke. And it became a meme and it'd go, all these pages would use it and they'd never quote and just put my name under it. And then I once pulled them up, I'd put it on Facebook and people would say, what's the problem, mate? Mm. Like, people don't get this intellectual property.
It is, yeah. And it'd be painful.
It's painful when you see it. And people then now make talking, they're not even comedians, but they think, oh, I've come up with this really funny.
I'm really curious as to what this joke was that was stolen.
Yeah, I mean, it's still used online today.
The meme worthy joke.
Yeah, it became a meme. So not necessarily a joke. And the weird thing is, I wrote this joke back in like 2010.
Mm.
And now it's 2022 and it's still being stolen.
So it's
12 years.
It's a good joke.
But it's quite depressing that the joke actually has some kind of significance within a more cultural aspect of society's norms. And it's become more relevant, I'd say, even today. And the joke, some may say it's not even a joke, was, and I did this on BBC's Live at the Apollo in 2012, was in this country, right, if you get stabbed, they won't find the killers. But if you drive down a bus lane, they'll take a picture of you in the car and send it to your house within 48 hours.
Yeah.
So if you get stabbed, make sure you get stabbed in the bus lane. Now,
I actually hadn't heard that before.
But the weird thing
it's
is
good.
That became then a meme.
It's also quite true.
Unfortunately, it's become more true because you know, that's the society we live in now and it's become more dangerous, but it's more of a political statement.
How the hell do you come up with a joke like that, though? I mean, I've tried to write little bits and bobs just for when I walk out and say it isn't straight into tricks. I struggle. Like, it's, do you have a process or do you just kind of come up with stuff and you take note of it?
Yeah, I just kind of come up with stuff, you know, like big situation that took place and I'd say a cultural, massive part in our culture today was the queue for the Queen. Mm. And then I just think of stuff that happened.
Your brain just never switches off.
Yeah, you just think, oh, well, your brain works in a slightly different way to the normal. I'd say the wiring of a brain of a comedian is maybe slightly different.
Do you think so?
Yeah, they say that.
Okay, so game time. We are going to play a game of 20 questions. It's exciting. I'm going to get you to think of something. And in 20 questions, I will try and tell you what it is you're thinking. But you have a choice. You have option A, the name of your first pet. Option B, think of the last person you texted. Or option C, think of the first person you slept with.
Yeah, I haven't done it yet.
Oh, okay, so it's option A or B, really, isn't it?
I've slept with someone to answer that.
So that's a tricky one.
I don't believe in sex before marriage.
Sorry for bringing that up, bro. It's
I mean, you know, it's same in Ireland.
And it's like...
The church, you know, like that kind of stuff. So any blasphemy...
Makes it a little bit easier for me.
Yeah, mm. Yeah, so... We'll answer that when I sleep with someone.
Well, we'll bring you back on the show.
Back on the show.
And we can talk all about it, like review it.
We'll do it.
Do you know which one you want to go for?
B.
B, the text.
Yeah.
Last person you texted.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we are going to come back to that in just a second. But first, a little message from our sponsors.
Hi guys, it's me, Sam.
And me, Billy, and we have a podcast called The Sam and Billy Show. Mam, what would you describe it as?
Good question.
Do you want me to prank you now?
Go for it. What are you going to say?
Next minute, me and her are in the meat wagon.
Shut
getting dropped off outside.
You've got racks. Not mice, racks. He's got racks.
Mum's in there with me. I've got a Coke in my hand. I'm like, just giving birth. And I was like, oof.
And that is going to be the most irritating thing. Edward's going to be bugged out with you.
It's so annoying.
We'll be playing Three Blind Mice and the recorder in the house. Seriously.
Oh, you would like
it. It's a boy.
And then we all just screamed, didn't we?
Have you never tried your breast milk?
No.
I think it's best to just give us a listen.
Listen to The Sam and Billy Show now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Listening to our everyday kind of just gibberish, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, Paul, it is time to shine. 20 questions. Great. You have chosen to think of the last person you texted.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and tell you who that person is. Here's the fun part of the game, though. Paul, you do not need to be honest. If you would like, when I ask you these questions, you can choose to lie to me to try and throw me off. Then I will give you a final answer and we'll see how close I get. Make sense?
Yeah, that's an interesting one.
It sure is. And now you're very aware of your tells and stuff.
Yeah,
so
we'll try.
Could I ask you just to place your hands on the table just so I can see that? Good. Okay. First question. Is this somebody famous?
Yeah.
Ooh, okay. Is this somebody that lives in the UK?
Yeah.
Is this a business?
Yeah.
Is this a business?
Yeah.
Is this a family member?
No.
A friend?
Yeah.
Okay, you're very good. I'm going to ask you one or two of those questions again. Is this a business?
Yeah.
Is this a famous person?
No.
Ooh, okay. You keep saying and looking up to the... Look at me. Is this a famous person?
No.
Okay, you keep every single time you say that looking up this way. I don't actually think it is a famous person. It's probably just a friend. One more time, is this a friend?
Yeah.
Okay, think of the first letter of their name. We'll see how close I can get. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, T. Careful. T.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. A, B, C, D. And oh, there's a C there too. TC. It's not Tommy Cooper by chances. That would have been good.
He's dead.
That would have been really good, wouldn't it? Although it keeps coming up on my For You page on TikTok now.
Does
all this stuff's coming back. It's amazing. Yeah.
People are uploading.
People are uploading his stuff and probably his family are getting nothing for it, but still.
Yeah, because a lot of people pass them off as their own tricks now.
Yeah, I know.
So, now we know where they come from.
Honestly, yeah, he's phenomenal. Anyway, sorry, focus. Okay, I'm gonna make a guess at this, right? And you can, for a moment, just be honest with me. I don't think that this is actually a person, which might make it very, very hard for me to get this right. I think it's probably like either a business or some sort of work thing. Am I, you can be honest for a second, am I close?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. You keep talking about comedy clubs and gigs. So I'm gonna guess it's probably, my guess will be that it'll be that you're messaging somebody. Oh, and is it about the gig tonight? You said you were doing a show tonight. Has it got anything to do with that?
Yeah.
Okay, so my guess will be that you're probably, the last person you texted will be something or somebody who works in that venue or helped you book you into the gig tonight. Am I wrong?
Yeah.
How close?
Close.
Oh, let's see. Is it an exact comedy club name?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll go for that. I don't really know comedy clubs in London, so you have to help me. Think of some more with the letters. No, there's a T and a C. A couple of words?
Yeah.
Think of some more of the letters in the first word. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. Thank you. I think you did that on purpose to help me. O?
Yeah.
It'll be something and then a second word, comedy club. So like top something comedy club. How close am I?
Close.
I'm not going to get it bang on. How close are we?
Very close.
Okay, what was it?
Top Secret Comedy Club.
Oh, that is close. That is close. I'm going to take that for like a 50% hit.
That's very good, actually.
Oh, you're tricky to read, my friend. That was close, but he is genuinely very hard to read. I had to dig deep. Now, I'm going to try and add a reference to telephone secretly. See if you can spot it.
So when you see when I did this?
Yes, you keep doing that up to the up to the left.
As well.
On purpose?
Well, that gives you an indication, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. Well, not the only thing, but
so
that was...
Let's say I'm speaking to you and I'm trying to get you to tell me the truth and you don't want to tell me the truth and you look up to the left or to the right.
It's why it's so hard to do tricks over the phone.
Yeah, yeah,
because exactly. you can't see. Or online as well. Sometimes it's tricky, you can't see the full person.
So let's say I said to you, are you going out with Sarah anymore? And you do that, which would mean...
There's little indicators, yeah. Some of it...
And you'd say to me, no, I'm not anymore. And then you do that.
Yeah, because it's inconsistent, yeah. It's usually you look for things which are inconsistent with their baseline behavior, which is why you ask a bunch of normal questions first. It's why it's tricky to go up to someone without getting to know them, instantly read their mind, because you have nothing to base it off. Whereas if you chat to them a little bit first, you can get a nice idea.
So when you look up, as opposed to when you look down, when someone's talking to you, do you know what the difference is?
Again, I think it's kind of been dispelled that looking a certain direction means a certain thing. It's just what's out of line with the way they normally look.
The normal behavior.
That's exactly it. So
you can tell a lie.
A good one, for example, to judge it is if you have someone put their hand up and you push their fingers back like this, then ask them to think of one finger and send their energy to it. You'll feel the difference in one finger, which is the one that you're thinking of, because you can compare it to what it felt like before.
Oh, really?
And it's a cool little thing. Auto suggestions.
Hold your fingers up. Mm-hmm. And then you say to the person,
you want to push right at the top because you'll feel the resistance on the one they're thinking of.
And think of one finger before you push their finger. Mm-hmm. And then
you'll feel it. It's not something you can do after you've explained how it works, because they'll deliberately, so you can't do it twice. But and it works that way. There's a thing called muscle reading where you could, for example, have someone hide an object in a room or a full building for that matter, take their wrist and have them think about where it is, and they will just subtly guide you there. Their subconscious will take you there. A classic one as well for... Oh, maybe I won't explain this. Maybe we'll save this for an episode of Influence Plus. Maybe we can do a little 5-minute segment at the end with that. Well, guys, if you want to learn a little trick, which I will I'll show Paul afterwards in terms of picking up on body language, make sure you check out Influence Plus. But anyway, listen, I want to get back to you for the moment. Congratulations on, I'm gonna say you caught me out on that one.
That was really good, actually. I thought you got as close as humanly possible to that, because the guy who owns it is my friend.
And is that who you were texting?
No, he's actually the booker.
Ah.
So they sent me a message yesterday saying my stage times, and I sent a like back to them.
So yeah.
It was a text reply.
I'm happy. I wish I got it bang on the name. But
pretty much as close as you can, I think, get.
You're flattering me. Thank you. Lying to make me look good. That's nice. Thank you. Listen, I want to go back to what we were talking about beforehand about influences in comedy.
Oh, yeah.
Because obviously you must have at some point... that thought popped into your head for the first time of, ooh, I want to be a comedian, which is probably not what parents want to hear. Same as whenever I told them I wanted to be a magician. But who was it that initially got you into comedy?
I used to watch a lot of stand-up growing up, in the same way you watched a lot of magic, and it became an influence in my life. So I'd watch Richard Pryor, Sam Kinison, George Carlin, Jackie Mason, Eddie Murphy, all these American stand-ups, because it was a lot more alternative than the British circuit, say in the 80s and the 90s. But I never thought I could actually do stand-up comedy or do it for a living. So I just tried it one night. And
just an open mic or something?
Yeah, just an open mic night.
How old were you? You said it
24.
Was 24? Okay, so it wasn't something that you did throughout your teenage years? It was...
No, I wanted to start it when I was like 17.
Were you... studying or working at the time, or what were you doing when
I
you
was
decided
doing,
to do
extra work on TV?
Ah, okay. So, I mean,
I graduated and I was just doing like bits on like and films and TV shows and The Bill and stuff like that.
You didn't have the beard at the time, did you?
No.
That would have been good. They could have like typecast you for that. I have a couple of buddies basically. That do extra work. They all have beards. Game of Thrones, used to love them.
Beards weren't really trendy in those days.
No.
You were just seen as...
They're beautiful now, it's okay.
And now it's a bit more... Well, I don't know, is it still fashionable to have a beard? I'm not sure.
It is on you. It is on you.
I'm looking around the room and everyone's got a beard. When's the last time you shaved?
Yesterday.
You looked over there up when I asked that question. You're lying to me.
Yeah, it was 3 weeks ago. I like to keep a baby face, so I do shave often, but it's just really annoying.
Why don't you just let it grow?
I like being babyface for now. It makes me look younger than I actually am. And that kind of works for being a TikTok person.
Yeah, it works being a TikTok person, but you probably still look young with a beard. But also, the more mature you look as a magician, the more mystical you become.
That's true. There was a while where I think every magician had some sort of beard. I mean, Darren had his goatee, and then Blaine had his thing going on. I have one selfish question before I try one little trick on you, which is, well, two questions. Who is your favorite comedian? If you had to pick one.
Of all time?
Of all time. You can only watch their stuff, nobody else's. Who's your favorite?
So Jackie Mason.
Jackie Mason. I do not know Jackie Mason. This is clearly, I have to do my homework. Is that really insulting?
Not really.
Bit more niche?
Well, no, it's not that niche if you're Jewish.
Okay, I understand.
He's like the biggest Jewish comic in the world.
Gotcha.
So you do comparisons between Jews and Gentiles. Is it right for me to be talking about this? If I'm not Jewish and I talk about you, I used to be a rabbi, now I'm a comedian, now I'm talking.
I'm going to have to go watch all this stuff. Why them?
I used to find him really interesting that he used to compare the two cultures of, he was an American rabbi through New York, and then he used to talk about Jews and Gentiles and compare the cultures and the cultural differences. And I'd say to a certain degree, my comedy is about my Indian upbringing and being British at the same time and all that. So that was quite an influential part of, and I just found his rhythms and quick fire comedy.
So he's the goat in your head. You love his.
Yeah,
his stuff.
I'd say I've got a top 10, but you know, he's up there.
He's up there.
India, that's interesting and useful. He's almost doing my job for me.
Okay, Paul, we're going to wrap up, but before we do, I want to try one little mind experiment for you.
Sure.
Name of the show is Influenced, and I've been trying something throughout the day. I don't want to give you too much info just yet. Before we wrap up, it's going to be your calls to what you think about, but I'm going to get you to concentrate on a joke. Now, this can be a joke you've written. Mm. It could be a joke that you just like. Any joke you like, one that has some sort of clear punchline, and you're going to get that in your head right now. So you're going to focus, and you can take a second if you need to sort of generate that in your head. And when you have something, you say, "Yes, Joel, I have a joke."
Yes, Joel, I have a joke.
That was nice and clear. Public speaking voice, that was good. You have a joke. Just for reference, this is just came off the top of your head, right?
Yeah.
I didn't have you go through like a list of 500 jokes in a joke book and pick one. This is a joke that you have come up with.
One I came up with myself.
In your own mind.
My own mind.
Because you're so creative and clever. If I flatter you enough, will you just pretend that I get the trick right, even if I get it wrong?
Even if you get it wrong. Okay, at the moment, you've got everything right.
So. Oh, I should say, by the way, when you first came in, you may remember I disappeared off.
Oh, yeah.
To record something.
Went to the toilet.
Yeah. It's a bit echoey, but I'll play that for you in just a second. Before I do,
you're not doing a play what happened in the toilet, are you?
Afterwards, but that's just for you.
Oh, right, yeah.
That's not for the rest of the guys, no.
Send it to be privately.
Yeah, I will. Just on Be Real. It's all right. Okay, I'm going to try and tell you what the joke is. That's the idea here. So again, if you put your hands on the table for a second like this, because it's presumably more than just one word, unless you've gone like the shortest joke of all time, this will take me a bit more time to get. But try not to give me too much of an idea. I'm going to try and tell you what the joke is. Just for reference, do you think this joke is funny, like really funny, or is it just something this kind of went, it's all right?
Well, I kind of rewrote a joke I had years ago.
Okay, that gives me, because I watched a bunch of your stuff before you came into, is it something that would have been on a special or like in a stand-up set?
I think I did, yeah.
Oh, speaking of which, very quickly, and you can relax for a minute, you are on tour again.
Yeah.
Now, and the tour is called, it's Family Friendly.
Family Friendly
Comedian. Do you want to quickly plug a little bit and tell us a bit about the tour?
So the Family Friendly Comedian is on the last leg of its tour.
Yes.
It's about cancel culture and my life and what we lived through for the past few years. And whether I've now become a family friendly comedian, because I don't want to get canceled like Philip Schofield and Holly Willoughby for not queuing.
Of course not. We would never want
even they're not family friendly anymore.
No, this is true.
You used to get cancelled for jokes. Now you get cancelled for not queuing, jumping queues.
Bad behaviour. Bad behaviour.
Horrific.
Terrible.
Couldn't believe what they did.
Yeah, it's a scary business, the cancel culture. Right? It's something that freaks me out.
You could get cancelled for some of this stuff in years to come.
You get cancelled for anything.
Magicians used to get cancelled because they thought we were witches.
That's true, yeah. It would have sucked to
well, that's probably the problem with female magicians. They thought they were witches.
Not even female magicians. Just back in the day, if you were a lady, a man could just say, she's a witch.
Yeah.
And that was kind of it. Wasn't very fair, really, was it?
Sort of terrible.
It's awful stuff. Okay, I'm going to come back to the joke. We'll talk about your tour in a little bit more detail in a second. Is this a long joke? A
few lines, three lines.
A few lines. It's not a knock-knock joke, is it?
No, I don't.
Okay. Knowing you, there'll be some sort of, and just based on what you've talked about, I think it'll be something maybe a little bit edgy.
Yeah.
Yes. Is it political in any way?
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit. Okay, I'm going to struggle here. Is it like a classic build-up and then just funny punchline reveal, or is it all in just one big block in your head?
Build up punchline.
Okay. I'm going to struggle. Can you give me, this is a hard one because it's not just guessing one word. Can you give me one sort of key word in the joke that might give me a hint as to maybe what it could be?
One word.
Just one word. Preferably not like we, but he, she, something like that. Something that might give me a bit more of a clue.
Call center.
Is that the punchline or the joke? I'm going to struggle with this.
It's in the punchline.
It's in the punchline.
So there's a build-up and there's a punchline. So it's two lines.
Okay, don't tell me the punchline. Can you give me more? I'm actually going to struggle here. I might have to do something else to finish instead. What was the, don't give me the punchline. Give me the joke. You've given me most of the punchline anyway. We might just have to change this. What was the joke?
I tried to join UKIP.
You tried to join UKIP? And something is there. Okay, hold that in mind for a second. So before you tell me what the punchline is,
yeah.
Right, you do remember that when you came in, I disappeared for a while to record something. Okay, long before I asked you to think of a joke, I'm actually going to go into my phone. I want you to see this. I'm going to go here into my voice memos. I'm going to have to go back because I haven't opened the app in a little minute. Check this out. Hang on. How do I actually just open memos? It's trying to play specific. Yes, voice memos. Here we go.
This is when I thought I was throwing the table up in the air and going...
Have a little look at this. So the latest recording on my phone is new recording 6-9. I'm going to play this for you out loud in just a little second, right?
Sure.
But before I do, can you just tell me the full joke, including the punchline?
I tried to join UKIP and I got through to a call center in India.
You're a clever man. And you reworked that joke from something you had before?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want to know the original
joke? I do, yeah.
So I tried to join the BNP, who were the British National Party. Now, that joke doesn't necessarily work very well anymore because the British National Party aren't a party anymore.
Not a thing.
But then I'd say the closest is UKIP, but then people say, oh, we're not racist, but if you were in UKIP, which is a party.
There you go. So that was the rework of the joke. But just for reference, you could have thought of absolutely any joke.
Yeah, and that's quite an obscure old joke.
It is. Now, the name of the show is Influenced. And when you listen back to this, you will notice that even from the second you walked into the room, I was saying certain things and doing certain things throughout our conversations to hopefully nudge you towards something in particular. Would you go ahead and just hit play on that audio recording and listen very carefully?
I'm Joel M, and my guest this week is stand-up comedian and actor Paul Chowdhury. But before we get started, I'm going to let you in on a secret. Now, you may think it wouldn't be difficult to get Paul to tell me a joke. He is a comedian after all. But here's the trick. I'm going to influence him to tell me a joke with a very specific punchline. And I predict that that punchline will have something to do with India and a telephone call. So all I have to do now is get inside his mind.
Pretty close?
That's very close.
Very close.
That's where I split the table up. Start smashing the lights.
You can, I don't know.
Like
with them.
David Blaine, when the people start running around the room.
Yes.
And they're going to run around. But then how did you get me to get to that avenue?
I have like a cyber chip that I just threw inside your
ear. Is it because I'm Indian?
I was hedging my bets, wasn't it?
I don't know how you got me to realize I'm Indian.
That was really the trick I was going for. Do you like that?
I don't know how you did it.
Is that the most amazing magic trick you've ever seen?
You got into my mind and you told me I'm Indian.
Yeah, and I did.
And I made a phone call once.
And you're not even Indian. That's the amazing thing.
No,
I just made you think
I'm
that.
Irish just like you.
Yeah, yes, you are. Paul, thank you so much for
Incredible
coming on to Influence. Listen, thank you very much. If people want to get tickets to come see you, where can they find tickets?
Just go to my website, paulchowdhury.com.
Paul, thank you so much. It has been a pleasure. Oh, and for the listeners, always guard your thoughts because you never know who might be listening. Here's what's coming up on next week's episode.
If anyone was going to get sponsored for Hocus Pocus, it would be me. Bette Midler can't even fart without me knowing. Literally, everyone knows that I love it. So, like, if anything happens with, like, Bette Midler or Sarah Jessica Parker, all the people on Instagram, like, just DMing me loads of stuff. A lot of my friends are getting DM'd.
I can tell how passionate
like,
you are about this.
I'm obsessed with it. I know the full film, like, word for word. I love it.
If you want another podcast to listen to, why not try out a compelling new audio drama from Crowd Stories called Eliza? Eliza's a robot, but her story is very human. She exists in a world of dominance, manipulation, and love, all set in a future that's far too close for comfort. It's fiction. Or is it? Just search for Eliza. And remember, be careful of your thoughts, because you never know who might be listening.
Crowd Network, a place where you belong.